Our scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. May the word of God fall afresh on your ears this day. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb, not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here, alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the fire. At that time I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the words of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. Neither shall you commit adultery. Neither shall you steal. Neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife. Neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it's fascinating. Media will go out and they will interview people. You've probably seen these interviews. Can you name a Ten Commandment? And they start, either they say no or they start making up stuff. They don't know them. These commandments are the basis of all our laws in this country. And most of the people in this country don't know them. So again, we had another shooting at a school. This isn't what I plan to speak to you about today. But I was at Taunton Seminary. You preach with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. I was hoping to speak to you about baptism. Something very grace-filled. Something that when you left here, you would feel good about Jesus. But we are living in a nation that is hurting, because we've lost focus. We've lost our backbone. We've gotten caught up in all kinds of other things that entertain us. And we've lost our moral compass. So scrolling through Facebook and other media, we see a lot of arguments about gun control as the issue. Then we see a lot of arguments about mental health as the issue. And they are both extremely divisive. Because, my friends, the reason no one can land and agree is because those aren't the issues. The issue is we are living in a post-Christian world. We are living in a post-Christian nation. And morals, the foundation of morals, the moral compass, came from the church. It was to be a beacon of light to the nations, to show the world, the nation, your community, the moral compass of the day. And folks, we're at a loss because we forgot how to do it. We forgot our purpose. When our kids and their parents can't even name a Ten Commandment. Instead, our kids are being raised with a whole lot of violence in their brains. Do you know what the top grossing movies are in America? The ones with violence in them, the ones with nudity in them, the ones that are graphic. And now PG, which means parental guidance. There aren't any G-rated movies anymore. We'll still slip some stuff in there. I question PG-13 movies. Because they know that stuff sells. We crave it. We can't get enough of it. We like to fill our brains with garbage. And if that wasn't enough, most of the video games that our kids want to play are rated M, which means mature, because of the graphic violence in them. They want to see bodies explode. They want to see blood on the ground. They want to see blood spilt. And then we're asking our kids to discern what is right and wrong when we're not even giving a sound moral compass. We want to cough it up to mental health issues. I think it's spiritual health issues. Mental health is usually something going on genetically or chemically in the body. But I think really what we're dealing with is more of a spiritual well-being, because we're filling our kids up with such graphic nonsense that they can't even make sense of the world. We think if we put them on some kind of medication, that might help. But really what we need is face-to-face communication. We need to be in kids' business. We need to know what they're up to. And my friends, I think you'll be really shocked to what entertains our children these days. And it doesn't take much. It wasn't Facebook, it was a different social media platform. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to check out some kids. I'm going to see what they're following. Because you can do that. It was a whole lot of sexual content. And a lot of it I couldn't get to because it was closed and it was marked mature. And they're following this stuff. And a lot of it's not normal. It's S&M. It's kinky. It's crazy. And nobody's telling them it's not okay because nobody's getting in their business. And we want them to be morally guided when we're not speaking up. We want to dig our heads in the sand, play our own games, entertain our own selves, and mind our own business, because heaven forbid we offend anybody, including our own kids. And we're protective of them. We are so protective of our children. I know, because I have kids, and I was a helicopter parent. And I am regretting it now. I didn't want my child to experience any pain. I didn't want them to have to cope. I wanted to be the one to soothe them. I wanted to protect them from any harm. And so they didn't have to really deal with pain until later on, and it became a big deal when rejection happened. Now, in the olden days, parents read their children the Brothers Grimm. Are any of you familiar with the Brothers Grimm? Yes. I'm a big fan of the Brothers Grimm. They're fairy tales, but they're kind of mean fairy tales. Things happen in those fairy tales, and you're like, huh, I wasn't expecting that. Like the story of Cinderella. The sisters actually cut off their toes so that the shoe will fit. Disney cleaned that up for us. Because we're constantly cleaning up stuff so our kids don't process bad things. So they don't know how to cope. And we're like, why don't our kids don't know how to cope? Because they never had to practice coping. We've given them Disney fairy tales. Instead of having to deal with real world issues, it's painful being in the real world. Rejection happens. You're not going to get along with people. People aren't going to like you. One day your girlfriend's going to get up and she's not going to want to have anything to do with you. Or your boyfriend's going to get up and they're going to be with somebody else. And your kid's like, what? And they don't understand how to process the rage and the rejection that goes on because we haven't taught them a correct response. And so these gun issues are escalating. And if it weren't for guns, they would find some way else to hurt their peers when they're hurting. They've been doing it over mass media. They'll just do it facelessly until that kid kills themselves. It's the same issue. Because our kids don't know how to deal with pain. But in a sense, they like pain. They want to watch people suffer. Because that's what they've been filling their heads with. And it goes back to the Ten Commandments. We've completely lost track of it. They don't even know, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not want other people's stuff. Thou shalt worship only God and God alone. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. Basic life principles. God chose Israel because God loved Israel. God called them out to be holy and said, you are holy. And then God gave the law. This is how you are holy. This is how you live out what I've called you to be. God's love came first. And then the law came. So that the people would know how to live. We don't know how to live unless someone teaches us. We don't know how to live rightly. We don't know how to live by a moral compass unless someone teaches us. I know that blows your mind. You think goodness would come naturally, but it doesn't. It has to be passed on from one generation to the next. Your heart, your faith, your life, your service to God has to be passed on. It has to be taught. It does not come naturally. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you were about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children And your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, hear, O Israel, and observe, do them diligently. Hear and do. So that it may go well with you and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel. Not here in this place. Hear. Hear. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We have raised generations on not how to do this. We have missed the mark. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away. When you lie down and when you rise, bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates. Why? Because you are a stubborn, stiff-necked, forgetful people. You forget. And when one generation forgets, everything else goes to hell. That's why we come to the table every single month to remember. Why do we do these rituals? So we remember. Because if we do not, we forget. We forget who we are. And when we forget who we are, it's not just about our soul. It's about the generations to come, and we are feeling it. We're feeling it, folks. This is a spiritual issue. Our children and their parents and possibly their parents' parents are starving spiritually because we've the church, my friends, the body of Christ. Every single denomination has missed the mark. We've missed the mark. So what do we do about it? When we know, I know, this is a spiritual issue. How do we teach our children to love God and respect humans? And respect life, respect Mother Nature. How do we do that? How do we catch up? Because things aren't going to change until we teach respect and love and loyalty to God. Until we teach that, respect of human life will continue to mean nothing, because respect and love for human life is born out of the love of God. Those two things are intricately connected because our life comes from the very source of who God is. People say, oh, well, God's not allowed in school. I saw lots of Facebook posts about that, even a t-shirt that said something like, I would be at school with you, but I'm not allowed at school. That's not correct. That's not correct. They're just not allowed to publicly pray. They can individually pray. Oh, teachers aren't allowed to talk about God. If a child asks, they are allowed to talk about it. There are open doors. There's ways to get around it. I'm not happy about this, folks. I know you can tell. I'm passionate about this. We are losing generations. It makes me want to pull out my hair, wail, and gnash my teeth and sit in ashes. And it's become so divisive that we lose sight of what is really important. We've made it about gun control. We've made it about mental health. And then we're just arguing about those things. Can you see the devil at play in all of this? Yeah. That's what demonic means. The source word for demonic, it means to destroy. And we are being destroyed in every single way. If we do not rise up with great courage and security of who you are in Christ, to be proud of who you are in Jesus, that it claims everything and you submit to that, that you cannot help but proclaim the gospel in what you say and what you do, that you can't help but invest in other people in the name of Jesus, to have those conversations and to help kids cope with their rage and their disappointment and their feelings of rejection, to have those conversations even if they are not your kids. They may not be your kids by blood, but they are your kids in Christ, every single one of them. So your homework this week is to pray really, really hard about how you can make a difference in one kid, in two, in 20, 30, hundreds. God's going to give you ideas, and they are going to be crazy. And they're going to wonder, how do I do this? You've had those ideas before, and you've pushed them away. Don't push these away. Find ways to pursue these ideas. Find ways to bring them to fruition. Listen, hear, and do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.